be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the amazing things we see in the Gospels is that Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Word incarnate, he prays. And he prays, when he prays, he asks the Father for things. In this case, he praises the Father because of what he has to show us. And he has shown us life. He has shown us what salvation is going to be like by giving us Jesus his Son. Jesus is, if you will, the manifestation of what life is to be about. And when we look at what the Lord says life is ultimately going to be about simplicity. Simplicity. That's what life is about. We know that for a fact. He says, what you've hidden from the learned and the wise, you've revealed to the simple of heart. What he has come to proclaim, the life he has lived and the life he asks us to live, is simple. Okay? Christianity and Roman Catholicism is not like rocket science. You don't need an advanced degree to understand it or to live it. All you need is a pulse, a heart rate, and brain waves. You got those three. Now, all of us here have them, otherwise we wouldn't be here right now. We are able to understand this Christian faith. It's very, very simple. But you know, as people, we like to complicate things because as we complicate things, we begin to try to show that either we know more about something or we're more specialized. And different professions have different ways of complicating things, which are really quite simple. You know, if you're in the legal profession, you learn this legalese and you talk in legal language and the jargon, and only other lawyers know what you're talking about. The same thing is true with physicians. You might say you have a headache, but a physician has about a couple $50 words which says you have a headache, but he's going to use the $50 words because the HMO says he can. Charge you extra. $50 words, that's what we're using. And of course, we can't leave out theologians in the church. We like to take the reality of God that St. Thomas says is total simplicity and complicated by our words. Instead of talking about the church, we'll say this is an ecclesiological issue. Or instead of talking about life and death, we're going to say this is eschatological. And they're going, what? We're complicating things. Because that way you can pay $900 for a course, and I can teach you what I'm going to now teach you in 3 minutes for free. Can you imagine that? I'm saving you all $900 right now by simply telling you what it takes me 10 weeks to tell seminarians and lay pastor ministry students and permanent deacons. Now, they do get it in a little bit more detail, but this is the gist. The gist of Christianity, of Roman Catholicism, is this. God created us in his image and likeness. He created us to love and to be loved, to serve him. That's why he created us. To be a joyful, a happy, a fulfilled people. We, on the other hand, decided that God's definition of joyful, happy, and fulfilled were not enough for us. We had to define it ourselves. And in defining it ourselves, we fell into original sin. We rejected God's plan, and in doing that, we brought into the world disorder, sickness, death, misery, all the fun stuff. We brought it on. And in the midst of looking at this world which God created good, and he sees the mess we've made of things, we hear very clearly in Scripture that God is not going to let this stand. He is going to offer us again salvation. He's going to do it by sending us Jesus Christ, his Son. And he sends Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. He takes on our human nature and comes and preaches the good news. The good news is this, that God loves us, that God is merciful and compassionate, that no matter what we have done in God's plan, with God's help, it can be fixed. We're not totally broken. We can be fixed. There's not a crisis in our life that can't be overcome. There's not a hardship that can't be conquered. That's what the gospel says. And in the process of him preaching that, through the Sermon on the Mount, by healing the sick, by gathering disciples around him, by multiplying the loaves and fish, all of this happened, and yet still we decided to say no. And we said no when we decided to say those two words, crucify him. And while Christ came out of love and compassion and mercy, we said crucify him. He was crucified. He died and was buried. And yet the Father again says, this is not going to stand, because the love of my Son is so pure and so perfect that he has redeemed the human race. And the sign that we are a redeemed people is the resurrection. So on the third day, God raises up the Son. And in raising him up, he now brings us into a new life, a life with when we seek to serve him will be a life of grace, a life of holiness, a life of hope, a life of healing. And with that, we know that Christ, when he ascends to heaven, sends the Holy Spirit to us as his presence in the world, and it becomes the church. And this church now communicates to us the risen Christ. And in communicating us through word, he also communicates himself to us through these concrete signs, these realities that we call the sacraments. The sacrament of baptism, in which we are washed clean of original sin. The sacrament of reconciliation, when through our personal sins we are cleansed and restored to grace. And through the most precious and personal of all sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, we receive God himself. And out of that now we have the strength and the courage to live a moral life, a virtuous life, a life that is simple, a life that is holy. That'll be $900, please. That's the Christian faith right there. We await for Christ to come in glory, but while we're waiting for that, we have to live in this world. And you know, oftentimes when people come and talk to me, and they probably come and talk to you, and they have a problem, and you offer them a solution, 9 times out of 10 you'll hear this phrase, but you don't understand, it's complicated. Well, what's so complicated about it? We are the ones who have brought complication into the world. And I think the key thing that has brought this complication about is this. We're trying to live with one foot in this world and one foot in heaven. What I mean by that is that we're trying to follow Christ, but in the process of doing that, we take this world so seriously that we think the world has given us the truth. And so all of a sudden, when we come across an issue of our morality, of how we live with one another, it becomes an issue. The world says, well, this is okay, this is acceptable, this is normal. Christ says, this is against the teaching of nature, this is against the teaching of revelation. And we find ourselves doing this dance between the two things. And so something that's very simple, to follow Christ, we overly complicate it. And we do it quite a bit. We do it so much, and oftentimes we do it not recognizing it, and we say we long for simplicity. Okay. There's plenty of people I know. When I worked at the hospital, a lot of young nurses, when they have their first children, they hate having to go back to work. They'd rather stay and raise their children and love their children and nurture them at home, but they can't. Why? Because they bought the whole view of society and the culture that it's all about possessions and it's all about having things, and they're up to their neck in debt, and so there's no way one salary can pay the bills. And they've said to me many times, both husbands and wives, I wish it was much simpler. And I says, it can be. It can become simpler. This is not something that is unfixable. But for it to be fixed, we have to take the Lord's words to heart. And these are very consoling words when you think about it, because we do find ourselves confused. We find ourselves in this complicated realm of things of the world, because the purpose of the world is to complicate things. Why do you think, for instance, when you'd hear these politicians talking, which I try to avoid, but you got to hear them, they always talk about everything is so complicated. Why is it so complicated? So that then they can try to prove to us that they can fix something, which I think is baloney. You know, they're not about to fix anything. They've had 200 years trying to fix things. It hasn't quite worked out. But they say, stay, we need to fix this. We need to fix that. It's complicated. It becomes complicated because integrity begins to be lost in the name of popularity. That a single vision begins to be lost because now we don't see ourselves as Christians, but we see ourselves as Christians who must live somewhat of a worldly life. Because the worldly life is attractive. There's pleasures, there's luxuries, there's great benefits in this. But in the midst of all of that stuff, we do reach a point when we become tired. We reach a point where no matter how many gadgets we have, or how hard we work, and how many possessions or wealth we have, we say, I'm tired. We say that. And the Lord gives us the response. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. And you can take the word out, burdensome, and say, come to me, all you who are weary and find life complicated. And I will give you rest. I will show you the right path. Because when we look at it, Christ's path has been around for 2,000 years. The path of society in which we live in has been around for what, about 30 or 40? The fads come and go. The trends come and go. We see how morality and the culture comes and goes. One thing that wasn't accepted now is accepted. Whether it's language or morality, whatever the case may be. But throughout 2,000 years, the constant has been Christ. The constant has been our Catholic faith, that while there have been some changes around the edges, that we would say, the core doesn't change. The moral teaching doesn't change. The life that Christ says we need to live doesn't change. And so if we come to the Lord, we're coming knowing that He is going to change us. Then you say, Lord, give me a simple life. He'll simplify it. Different ways. Oftentimes, you know, God says, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. If you're like me, it takes a 2x4 about 3 times to hit you across the head before you get the message. And oftentimes we do things the hard way. How many people have you known who have had a heart attack or a stroke or have a terminal disease and say, you know, life was too complicated. It's much simpler than what I thought it was. Which you say, amen, it only took a stroke or a heart attack for God to get this message to you. You think we can do it before that? And nowadays we see a more subtle way. Gas at $4 a gallon, all of a sudden we're beginning to reevaluate all the stuff that we think we have to do. All of a sudden, geez, $4 a gallon, I might have to stay home with my family. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But what we don't know is that Jesus gave us our families, God gave us our families so we can get to heaven. Because if we can put up with our families, we can put up with anybody. A simple life. Families, we learn simple things. We learn forgiveness, we learn sharing, we learn understanding, we learn compassion. All those things, we learn that we have to work together and pray together and live together. It's a very, very simple process. And that's what the gospel offers us, simplicity. But we come today, all of us, myself included, with very what we call complicated lives. And as I look and walk around and see myself as this, things have to get simpler. Because for someone who has to preach the gospel, or for those who have to live it, we can't do it with all this baggage. It preoccupies us, it distracts us, it takes us away from our goal, and our goal is always Christ. St. Francis de Sales, the patron of this parish, said it so well many years ago. He had a saying he would write on the top of every one of his letters. And the saying was simply these two words, live Jesus. That's all he said, live Jesus. That's as simple as it gets. De Sales taught that in his spiritual writings, his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life. As a bishop of Geneva in Switzerland, he said, we are to live Jesus. We go to him who, because he can give us energy, we go to him because we are tired and we find ourselves complicated and we find ourselves lost. But if we go to Christ, we find ourselves. We find the Lord. And then we find strength to live in this world simply and humbly and lovingly. And in the midst of all that, we find out what living really is. And that's a great gift that God wants to give us. But it begins every day with his word. It begins with these sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, which we're about to receive. May the body and blood of Jesus help us to do as St. Francis de Sales says. Live Jesus today. Live a simple life. Have the courage to ask the Lord to help you remove those complications. Remove that stuff, as St. Paul says, so we can live a life that is simple. Because a simple life is a holy life. A simple life is a life of integrity. A simple life, to be true, is simply a life in which God is loved above all else. And that love then teaches and overflows us, in us, so that we can truly learn to love our neighbor. And that's about as simple as it's going to get.